John chapter 5. We'll get there in a couple seconds. I got a review for last week because we got about halfway in last week to where I wanted to get, and we're going to finish up this week. But one of the underlying themes in 1 John is that they had people come in, and they were part of the fellowship. They acted like they were part of the fellowship. They enjoyed it. They participated. And then they started coming up with, well, there is really no such concept as sin. Now, if you go to some of the history books, they call this the Gnostic influence. But they said there was no such thing as sin, and Jesus did not come in the flesh. And John is replying to this to these issues. And one of the issues, when you have something like that happens, you know, if you've ever been through a church split, if you've ever been through something like that, this is similar to it, or this is actually worse than what many church splits are. But what happens is the people in the church, that they've accepted these people, they've welcomed these people, and now suddenly people are going out and saying, you know, what you people believe about Jesus, that he came in the flesh, that he's a savior, he's a deliverer, he's your supplier, that stuff isn't really true. And so the church that is left, that John's writing to, is devastated by it, and they're struggling with this. How could they be a part of us and then leave like they did and throw everything that they've taught away? Now, this is a hard thing, and John is basically telling them that if they were truly of God, they couldn't do this. If they were truly of God, you cannot deny that Jesus came in the flesh. If you're truly of God, you can't just say, well, there's really no concept such as sin. You really can't say it, because if they're, and this is the reasoning, if God is in the flesh in Jesus, and he died for your sins, how can you say there's no sin? You're denying the whole purpose of the Christ, denying the whole purpose of the Messiah. And yet this is what they were doing. And then they added, not only is there no sin, oh, he didn't really come in the flesh. It was just a figment of your imagination. It was just this thing that you thought up, but is really not true. And you find these arguments are still going on today, and many of them are going on in the church today, of ministers that do not believe that Jesus is the begotten Son of God. The ministers that believe that there's really no concept of original sin, so Jesus couldn't have come to save us. It's still going on today, the same discussion. And so John is answering this, and it's curious to me that Jesus, one of the commandments that Jesus said is, by this love, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And so this is a concept, this is the thing that John is dealing with, is the concept of love, of koinonia, of fellowship with one another. How do we cope with this? How do we deal with this? And we find in 1 John chapter 5 that he is reinforcing what I've just shared with you. He says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. In other words, if you believe that Jesus has come in the flesh, then you're born of God. If you accept him as Christ, if you accept him as the Messiah, you are born of God. Now, he said this before, and I'll just go back because we're going to come to this a little bit. But 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Now, part of the problem when people start saying what you're believing is foolish, just didn't happen, there's no Jesus, when people start, we start questioning, don't we? Even if you're confident when you walk away, could they be right? And John is reinforcing, you are of God. If you believe Jesus came in the flesh, back to 1 John 5:1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Say that with me. Is born of God. And everyone who loves him, Jesus, who begot, or the Father who begot, also loves him who was begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the commandment of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. I think as King James says, are not grievous. In other words, it's not difficult. And we said this last week, if it's hard to love others, you got issues. Okay, we got a lot of issues going on in the world today. We got a lot of issues in the church today, because we say we love God, but yet he's saying, man, if you really love God, you're going to love the people that God has that are born of God. Amen. If you really have koinonia with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you ought to have koinonia with the people that he are born again in him that also have koinonia with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We ought to be able to get along, amen? We ought to be able to do more than get along. We ought to get something done. We ought to be able to accomplish things, amen? Not just have services, but to actually accomplish things. And so we said last week, we began to get into this, but this is what I want to center on this week. The difficulties that we have loving people is a trust issue. And the trust issue comes from basically one of two places. And I know you're all going to think, the devil. No, well, the devil is one, but we got other issues in the devil. Okay? Sometimes you got to deal with that. It's like, well, the devil made me do it. Yeah, but you did it because you wanted to. You know, yeah, there is a devil. He tempts us. The devil cannot make you do anything. The devil cannot take your free will unless you are totally surrendered to him. They call that possession, okay? But generally speaking of what we deal with, you are tempted by the devil because you want to do those things. And they're more pleasing to you than doing what God wants you to do. That's a reality. Now, the difficulty, as I said, comes from two sources. One is from inner insecurities, of just inner fear that you just don't trust people. Okay, and that makes it hard to trust God, doesn't it? If you don't trust people, it's hard to trust God. If you've been raised in a broken home, if you've been raised in these types of things, your trust is kind of already stretched. If your parents didn't do for you what you needed to have done, your faith, your confidence is a little bit stretched. And then people say, well, you just need to love God. I say, well, is God going to treat me like my parents did? Is God going to treat me the way that is? So there's all these inner security things that we've picked up. We're not even aware of them. You know, we all think we're normal. I recently read a book. I love the title of it. Everyone appears normal till you get to know them. You know, and once you get to know people, you get, oh my God, I didn't know they did that. You know, people get married, and then you know, have been married for a month or so, and they're laying there, and one of them wakes up during the night and said, oh my God, I didn't know they snored like that. You know, I mean, issues come up, don't they? I didn't know they did that. They just throw their clothes in a pile. What on earth are they thinking about? They come in, they don't use deodorant. They, you know, all these things are issues that we have to struggle with. Everybody seems to be normal. Well, you appear to be normal. And most of us have issues, don't we? Seriously. We got things that we're growing up in. Amen. We've got things that God is overcoming. But when you've got all these issues, it's hard to just say, God, here's my life. Because I want to know what you're going to do with it before I give it to you. Because I don't trust you. Because I don't trust anybody. Okay? So inner insecurities are often a thing. And how do I say this politely? We tend to project our inner insecurities on other people. If you are dealing with whether people like you or not, the first question you ask when you meet other people, I wonder if they like me. Because you don't have the security of who you are. You know, all those are issues that come up. Will you project them on others? If you don't think you look good that day, well, they didn't like me because of my hair, my clothing, I wasn't dressed right. And you get all these, and you've already, even if they accept you, you've already pushed them away because you see yourself as being unacceptable. You see yourself as not being desirable. And so you push away the blessings and the people that God's trying to bring in your life because of your own inner insecurities. And it's not the devil, it's you. So that this builds up a base in our lives. The second place where this trust factor comes is when people have failed your trust. And it's real. You know, I grew up in a loving home. My mom and dad loved me. I always knew that. And yet dad put all kinds of insecurities in me because everything I did he questioned. He challenged every little thing that I did. I've used this illustration before, but if I got beat up at school, and I was a good kid, you know, but if I got beat up at school, if I came home and told dad, this kid just picked on me, what did you do? I didn't do anything. I just stand there. He came up. Have you ever heard of bullies? Have you ever heard of people like that? They'd love to just pick on people. I said, Dad, he just picked on me. No, you had to do something in order for him to respond that way. It's like, no, sometimes there's possessed people out there that their sport is messing with people. You know, this is sport for them. I didn't do anything. Have you ever, you know, it's like when that happened several times, you know, Dad put a lot of insecurities in me, but he, I know he loved me. He just goofed me up real good sometimes. You know, and I'm still having to fight those tendencies sometimes because I have to deal with rejection. I don't like to be rejected, and so I go over the other way, and I try to be nice to everybody, and if you're nice, you'll love me. And it's like, no. But then that's my insecurity. That's my issue. But then I've actually had other people, for no reason, lie, cheat, steal, take advantage of me. And I'm trying to be a nice guy. I'm trying to be upfront with them, but you know, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, it's not a guarantee that they will do to you. See, we think, well, if I treat them nice, they'll automatically treat me nice. That's not what Jesus said. He said, you need to treat others the way you want to be treated. So if you want others to love you, be loving, but don't be stupid. Okay? You're not there to be a kicking bag. You're not there to be punched around. But These are the two areas where our trust issues get assaulted, either from our own inner insecurities or because of real events that have wounded us, that have discouraged us, that have disappointed us, and both of them have a profound effect. Now, to tie this into 1 John 5, he said, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever believes. If you can have confidence that Jesus is the Christ, that God had him born in the earth, all God, all man, all the time, if you can believe that, you can be saved. Your trust issues can be gotten rid of. Because if you can go so far out on the limb that you believe that God became flesh. See, just even, that's why people look at you and say, you're a wacko. You're a Christian. You're a wacko. Why? You believe, first of all, in a God. Secondly, in a God who became flesh, which means he's actually interested in us. That God actually came to meet us where we are. That he died for our sins. Oh, man, you're really going over the edge now. That God would cleanse us of our sins, which the world denies that we have, but then they deny that we can believe that Jesus died for our sins, and then he was raised from the dead. Oh, you guys are really going way too far now. That he ascended to heaven, sits at the right hand of God, and has given us the authority of his name, that every demon in hell has to bow. I mean, do you understand why the world has a hard time accepting that? Because they deny sin and they deny that Jesus came in the flesh. And you've got to be absolute wackos to believe that. Well, if you can, if you can, if you can make that leap of faith to believe this God that was made to be flesh, you can be free from your insecurities, from within and without. You can be free. Because any nut that can believe that God came in the flesh, died on the cross for our sins, was raised from the dead, ascended to heaven, sits at the right hand of God, that has given us the new birth and new life. Man, you can believe anything. You can believe anything. It's just keeping our eyes on God, keeping our focus on what he has done. And so we're not even aware of it, but when you say, when you're in a spot that God can't help me, you are saying God really didn't come in the flesh to do everything he said he would do. But if I can put my faith and believe that Jesus is the Christ, I can believe anything. In other words, I can change. I can be different. I can accept the new birth. I can accept what God has done for me. I don't need to worry. All this junk that comes into me that wants to steal and rob the glory of the new birth, the glory of Christ in me, I can believe for God against all those things. Why? He is my Savior. He is my Christ. He is my Messiah. Do you understand this? See, this is coming out of the darkness of self-condemnation and the abuse of other people. This is coming out of it. This is what it means to believe, not just doctrinally, not just theologically, not just on a piece of paper. Well, I'm a Christian, so I believe. No, it's that you believe, that you put your faith, your confidence, your hope, your whole future. You begin to rest your life on the concept that God was made to be flesh, lived among us, died, was raised from the dead, and seated at the right hand of glory, and I'm seated with him in heavenly places. Man, if you can believe that, your issues begin to disappear. Why? Because you're looking at the one who did all this stuff. You're looking at the one who set you free. That's why in Luke 4, when Jesus gives his first sermon, and he says, you know, I'm anointed by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel of good news to the poor, open prison doors, give sight to the blind, proclaim the year of liberty. They wanted to throw him off the cliff. Why? Because they had already pre-accepted the concept, we are what we are and we can never change. And if you believe that God is the Messiah, that he is the Christ, that is believing I can change. God can make a difference in my life. Amen? Can you get that? Can you get that? This is really big. This is what John's dealing with here. These people have gone out and denied everything. They're calling you crazy. And the church is saying, what if they're right? John's saying, if you can believe that Jesus is the Christ, you are born of God. If you can accept that principle, if you can accept that concept, you are born of God, of the same family, the same lineage, the same person. Now, when I grew up, when I was little, I looked a lot like Dad. As I got older, people said they could see my mom in me. I see more of my dad than my mom, but, you know, who knows? If you're born of God, do you have a little bit of God in you? See, if I look like my natural parents, if I'm born of God, I ought to look like God because he's in me. Inner insecurity will not let me see that. Because I'm insecure, I doubt that God's word would really be true for me. I know it's true for you. Now, I can have confidence it's true for you. But for me, it's a struggle. This is what insecurity does. I know God loves the whole world. He just didn't include me in the picture. I know God can heal everyone because he's got the power. I mean, he's God, right? But to believe he'll heal me, now that may be pushing it a little bit. I know God is my financier, but God hasn't seen my checking account lately. So this is why when you can believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's why when trouble comes up, we need to declare Jesus as Lord. Well, your inner insecurities will keep you from doing that. But also when you've been abused by others, when others have taken advantage of you, it's hard to trust God too because, well, God, who are you? And the same issues apply to that. This is what koinonia is all about. This is no longer basing my self-worth on what people say or my own fears and insecurity. It's basing who I am on who God says I am. That I am caught up in him. I like the scripture out of Colossians. I refer to it an awful lot. Our life is hid in Jesus Christ. And when I think about it being hid, I think about the devil coming and looking for us. He said, where's Francis? Where is Francis? Where is Francis? Where is that woman? I'm looking for her. Can't find anybody but Christ. Isn't that an awesome thought? When he comes looking for you, if we're hid in him, he can't see us. I'm hid. I can be in plain sight, but I'm hid. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the new life. Christ in me, hallelujah. See, he's in me, but I'm in him. We abide with each other. This is what John's trying to say. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're born again. You're born of God. You're no longer caught up in this natural world. You're no longer caught up in the things that these other people are, but you are born of God. You can change. Now, go to Matthew 5, because we touched on this last week. Keep your place in 1 John. But Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says some amazing things. And I don't like these things that he said, but he said these amazing things. How many of you understand? Sometimes you read the scripture and you don't like what it says. You accept it, but you don't like it. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, he says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." How many want to volunteer for this? No, I didn't think so. He said, verse 12 says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Why are we blessed in persecution? I don't feel blessed. I feel lousy. I feel like the whole world is against me. I feel like there's nobody that supports me, that even cares about me. Because persecution comes to isolate you, to separate you not only from people but from God. That's why the persecution comes. They don't like you being with God. He says they persecuted the prophets. Now, who are the prophets? Prophets are people who are speaking the life of God. The prophets are people who are not of this world, but are ambassadors from heaven to speak the truth into the lives of people that didn't want to hear it to start with. And when you walk into a room, oh, here comes that Christian again. Just smile. Why? Because you know God is convicting them. God is already at work bringing the truth and the light of God into their life just by you showing up. You don't have to say a word. You don't have to preach. You don't have to cast out devils. You can just be there and just sit in the chair and just smile. I remember one night after I sobered up in college, well, I was at this party and everybody was drunk or on weed and, you know, everybody was high, and I'm sitting there in the corner just listening to the music. I'm tapping my foot, just having a good time. And this girl that I knew crawls over on the ground because she's stoned. And she crawls over, pulls herself on her elbows over to me, gets up about 6 inches from my face, and she says, "You're having a good time, aren't you?" I go, "Yeah." "You're not on anything, are you?" "No." "How can you have a good time?" I didn't know what to tell her at the time. I just grinned. But see, she knew I was different. I'm in the party room with everybody else, but I'm not doing what everybody else is doing. And I'm having more fun than anybody in the crowd. We ought to start having some fun in the crowd. We ought to start enjoying who we are in Christ. Amen. We ought to start shining forth instead of just, "Well, I'm here at this, stuck in this party." And we can have a party of your own. See, persecution comes from the enemy to deny your identification with the Lord your God who loves you. It comes to break that down. He says, why are we blessed in persecution? Well, you're children of light, and darkness persecutes the light. Now, he goes on to say, well, let's just go here. He said, his commandments are not burdensome. Jesus in John 15:10 said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, dwell in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now Jesus is saying, I'm abiding in the love of God because I'm keeping his commandments. Now, let me ask you, is his love a good place to be? Yeah, because in his love is fullness of grace. Amen. Fullness of power in his love. It's a good place to dwell in the love of God. And when I get outside the love of God, I feel forsaken. I feel lost. I feel alone. I feel abandoned. I'm outside of his love. By life processes, if you've been in his love, we know instinctively that's a better place to be. So if I get out of his love, I need to recognize that and move back over into his love, because it's a good place to be. Go to John chapter 8. We're getting to the point. John chapter 8. Verse 31. I've got to say this as a lead into the other. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, if you abide in his word. If you go down to verse 36, it says, therefore, still John 8:36, therefore, if the Son of Man makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen? Everybody agree to those? I don't understand it, but yeah, I'll accept that. Okay, let's still in John. Let's go over to verse 42. Woody always asks the question, who's your daddy? Okay, verse 42, Jesus said to them, to the same Jews he's been talking to, he says, if God were your father, you would love me. So if you're born of God, you'll love Jesus, right? So, well, yeah, that makes sense. And you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Have you ever wondered that about people? Why can't you understand what I'm saying? When you witness, God loves you. You've got a wonderful plan for your life. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? Why do you keep going back to the vomit? Why do you keep going back to the old lifestyle when I'm telling you how much God loves you? Why do you keep falling back into those old insecurities? Why do you keep falling over into that victimization? Why do you keep going back there when you know what I'm telling you? And Jesus is asking the same thing. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. In other words, they're not abiding in the word of God. 43 or 44, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, you've probably in your mistakes in your life have made some mistakes. I'm just kind of assuming that we've made some mistakes. We've done some things we shouldn't have done. But 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's another way of saying, if the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed. If the Son has set you free. Now, why, or I'll say it like this, have you been persecuted for righteousness lately? Have you been persecuted for standing up for Jesus? Would God persecute you for doing the right thing? No. So here comes the struggle. These people have said, we don't believe God. We don't believe Jesus is coming in the flesh. And they're shaking the faith, the confidence of the church. Maybe what we believe really isn't real. 1 John chapter 4. Go back there. 1 John chapter 4. If you've never had to deal with this, you haven't been Christian long enough. 1 John 4, 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Do you know there's some spirits out there are not of God? We just read in John 8 about the devil. You know, he says, if you don't hear my words, you're of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and when he speaks, he lies because that's his nature. He says, test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Now, in my translation, the way I read it, I put a but right here. Okay, you have heard that this Antichrist is coming and is now already in the world. But you are of God. You are not of that spirit. You are not of that thing of the world. You are of God and have overcome them, the accusers, those who attack you. You have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. The greater one is in us. Amen. The greater one. Greater than the accusations. Greater than our doubts. Greater than our insecurities. Greater than the people that have failed us in our past life. Greater. God is greater than all of these things. Amen. Yeah. Now, the Bible tells us the devil is roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Well, if he's got to seek, it means he doesn't have an open door all the time. If you don't give him an open door all the time. Now, listen. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world, 1 John 5. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. When he comes bringing up past insecurities, when he comes bringing up past failed relationships or failed things like this, he's a murderer. He's a liar. Why do you want to agree with him? Why? It's like, well, yeah, I'm just that way. No, you're not. You're born of God. Well, but people have always let me down. But you're born of God. Well, you know, things just never turn out right for me. You're born of God. Why do we want to agree with the guy who wants to kill you? Why do you want to agree with the guy who is lying about you? You're worthless, liar. You never do anything right, liar. Why do I want to agree? I do not want to participate with the devil because he is the destroyer. I want to agree with God. He's the life giver. This is what John's trying to get across to them. You are of God. Again, 1 John chapter 5. Verse 4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? See, our fellowship, our koinonia, is not with the world. It's with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are in the world. We're not of it. This is what he's trying to get across to us. You are born of God. We're born from above. The world is passing away, but that which is eternal is spirit. And if we're spirit and the world is passing away, that's not who we are. We're going from glory to glory. We're being conformed to the image of Christ. The world is literally deteriorating. It's losing ground. Even if you listen to the world, our climate is changing. It has been changing for about 6,000 years. They're just now starting to understand it. They don't understand that early in creation, we were protected from the gamma rays of the sun. They didn't realize that the ozone hole is a new phenomenon, that we used to be protected from things like that. They don't understand that the ocean's rising or the mountains freezing, whichever way it's going, because it's climate change now. It's not just global warming. We never know the oceans can rise 2 feet on the East Coast and fall 2 feet on the West Coast. Not, but they don't know. But they're even predicting what the Bible talks about. But we are not of this world. We're not, those things are not touching us. Amen? Because we are not of the world. Now, we've got to understand that we are born again. In 1 John 5:5, it says, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, who is this Son of God he's talking about? In verse 6, it says, this is he who came by water, by baptism, and blood, the cross. Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. I'm going to listen to the Spirit. I'm not going to listen to this world. I'm not going to listen to the liar. I'm not going to listen to the accuser. I'm not going to listen to the murderer. I'm going to listen to God, because he is life and he is forever. Amen. He is eternal. Now, 7 and 8 says there's two witnesses. We're not going to spend time on this, but there's two witnesses. There's a witness of heaven and there's a witness of earth. It says in 7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. He says they bear witness of what I'm telling you. They bear witness of God. They bear witness of his incarnation. They bear witness in you or in the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit in a new life for us. Verse 8 says, and there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. Now, this is just real curious, but I'm just saying right now that these are witnesses. There's a witness of heaven. There's a witness of the earth. And he says all these agree that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Son of God, and that we are his children being born again. Verse 9 says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. If someone taps you on the back and says, hi, I think you're wonderful, you just go, yeah, course he does. You know, but if someone taps you on the back and says, you know, you're a loser if I ever saw one. A lot of people believe that too. It's amazing how we will accept the witness of men for good or for bad and not accept the witness of God for good. Men will love you one day and throw rocks at you the next day. If you don't believe that, just go into politics. I mean, you know, just be a preacher. Go to work. You know, if you do something right, somebody will be mad at you because you showed them up because they've been doing it wrong for all these years. That's the way of the world. Why? Because they don't really want to get it right. They just want to look good. So, but he says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Not equal to, greater. The witness of God is greater than the accuser. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has believed the testimony that God has given of the Son. And this is a testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. See, John is telling them, these people have gone away. These people who are denying the Christ, don't listen to them. They don't know God. They don't know what they're talking about. You little children are born of God. He who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith in what God has done. That gives us the victory. Amen? You missed that one. Our faith in God gives us the victory. Yeah, but no, you have the victory. Yeah, but no, you have the victory. Our faith in God gives us the victory. But what if God has given you the victory? But I don't understand. God has given you the victory. You don't have to understand in order to win. You don't have to have everything figured out in order to win. You have to believe and act on what you believe. Amen? He says in these verses, he says, he that has the Son has life. And that's literally Zoe, which is the life that only God can possess. Now, this is not a new doctrine. A lot of people will look at me and say, Gordon, I've never heard this before. Well, I don't doubt it. But it's Bible. It's Bible, isn't it? You are born of God. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you are born of God. Is that scripture? I'm not making this up. This isn't the Gordon Brubaker Revised Standard. This is what the Bible says, B-I-B-L-E. And I'm going to believe that over whatever any theologian tells me or what the world tells me. I'm going to believe the scripture because it is God-breathed. I don't know where this guy came from. Well, but he's got all these letters behind his name. Whoop-dee-doo. You know, John didn't have any letters behind his name. Jesus didn't have any letters behind his name. But I know a lot of people, they've got BS behind their name. And others have even gone to higher education. They have a PhD. That means piled higher and deeper. I mean, they've just got all these letters. They don't mean a thing. Some of you are getting this. But it's like, why are we listening to these people instead of the Word of God? Why are we exalting the opinion of people over God? If you do that, you're always going to be confused. You're always going to be messed up in your head because you're busy trying to figure out what people think about you. It doesn't matter. What matters is what God thinks about you, what God says about you, and to submit to that and say, Lord, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, no matter what anybody else says. And then I'm going to act righteous. I'm going to live righteous. I'm not going to keep doing the dumb things I did. I'm going to put away the childish things and do what God requires, because it's the right thing to do. See, this is not a new doctrine. It's called being born again. It's real simple. Just Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm just foolish enough just to believe him, just to trust in him. And he's made my life so much better than when I was controlling it myself. Made such a difference in me. Final verse, 1 John 5:13. I want you to get this. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, be established in, be firmly rooted in, that you may know that you have eternal life, Zoe, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. He says, people, I want you to get this. I don't want you to be pulled off course by what some people are saying who don't believe in God. I'm writing these things to you so you can have confidence. Remember how he started out the book? At the very first verse? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life, the Zoe, was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship, koinonia, with us, and truly our fellowship, our koinonia, is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. See, if I don't believe these things, I can't have fellowship with God. But if I believe them, I'm born of God. God's in me. I'm new. Yeah, but have you heard about the stock market? It doesn't matter. Yeah, but did you hear about it? It doesn't matter. My God meets my needs according to His riches in glory. If He has to manufacture gold and throw it out of heaven to land in my backyard, He can do it. Amen? If that's the only source I have. He had a prophet that a raven brought him food beside the brook and fed him. A bunch of guys walked around a city with a bunch of horns, and the walls came out tumbling down. What can God do? Anything He wants. But He needs a vessel. He'll use you if you believe. He'll stir things up in you if you believe. But you got to get rid of all this junk that the accuser's been saying. Just say, Lord, I believe. I trust you. You have made the difference in my life, and I'm going to continue to believe. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Praise you, God. You get something out of this? See, this is the God we serve. This is the God who caused us to be born again. And if I can believe in Him, I can put all that junk of persecution to the back. Don't have to.